Let's begin. Again, it's Parsha Sav, Erev Purim, Parsha Zohar. Let's begin with a short var in Parsha Sav. Parsha Sav begins with Parsha Karban Oila, Tzav, Es Aharon, V'Yesbon of Lemor, Zoysra Asa, and then right away it goes into the further mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen. That's the first mitzvah of the Parsha. V'lova Shakoyin Midoy Vad, he shall wear his linen tunic, U'michne Sevad Yilbash Al Bisaro. Verimis Hadesh, this child of the Gemara, does the kohen who does Trumas Hadesh, does he wear Dalit Begadim? Does he wear two Begadim? This was in the Daf Yomi about 2-3 months ago. Sugya, how many garments does the one who does Trumas Hadesh need to wear? Okay, but he wears his Big Day Kahuna, gets up nice and early, and it's done, in fact, when it's still dark, and it's the first Avoda of the day.
Doesn't he have to wear
He wears clothing which are not as choshuv as new clothing, as kohanim who are doing avodah. Chazal say the clothing that you use to clean the house are not the clothing that you use to go to a banquet. Not the same. So the quality of the clothing is not the same. They're not as new and fresh, but they still are big day kahuna. According to some opinions, he wears all four begadim, including the avodah. According to one opinion, he only wears two begadim. Okay. Now, without going into too much detail, the Trumas Hadeshen has two qualities, has two different characteristics. On the one hand, it is an avoda that relates to the previous day. Let's assume, for argument's sake, that the day begins with the morning. Okay, even though the day we know in halacha begins with the night. But for Kabbanis, the night follows the day. Okay, but there's definitely a break, whether the night follows the day follows the night, but there's a break between the night and the day. Is the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen a mitzvah of the night? Or is the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen a mitzvah of the day? What are we doing? On the one hand, when you remove the ash from the Mizbech, when the Kohen goes to the top of the Mizbech and he takes the ash, he's taking leftovers from yesterday. He's not putting something new on the Mizbech. He's removing a product from the previous day. Yesterday there was an avoda, there were korbanos, there were offered, there's a pile of ash. I'm taking a small shovel full of this ash, I'm coming down the mizbech, I'm putting it on the side, eitzel v'samo eitzel ha-mizbech.
But it says out of poikah, which show that it's morning.
On the other hand, no, that's the ola. On the other hand, this is introduced to us after it's the first avoda in the morning, it's part of the gorul, everyone wakes up fresh in the morning, and it's the first service that's done to usher in the new day. Okay, you want to make a drasha that being that it says afterwards Sagas Hami has been al Zostaras Al Magdal al Mizbech al Halal an Aboker, the Eish Hamizbech to Kadbo. Well, that's not really right because it says so that the oila is from yesterday. But it's yesterday's oila.
Yeah, but it's now he's taking in the morning.
He's taking off the ash from yesterday. What is all of the avodas that are done during the day? You're doing something new. You're bringing something new to the mizbeach. I'm bringing a karban. This animal was not here yesterday. I'm bringing a mincha. This mincha was not here yesterday. When a Kohen does the avod of Trumas Hadeshen, he's not adding anything new to the mizbeach.
He's making them able to make the marochas. It's part of setting up the marochas.
He's setting up the marochas.
You say it in the Abaye says, the marochas gedol kedemus, and then Dishon mizbeach ha-pnimi.
No, that's mizbeach ha-pnimi. No. That's Dishon mizbeach ha-pnimi. That's a different Dishon. That's the preparation for mizbeach ha-pnimi. But let's focus here on the Trumas Hadeshen. There's a dual nature. Okay, I'm not prepared. I don't know all the details, but if you'll study the sugya of Trumas Hadeshen, you will discover that it has two characteristics. On the one hand, it's an avoda that relates to the night, and the simplest approach to view that it's a night avoda is because what are you doing? You're not doing anything new. I am removing the ash that was created yesterday. It's been burning the entire night. It's consumed its ash. I'm taking it away. But on the other hand, it's the first thing that's done in the morning. Trumas Hadeshen is not done at night. It's done b'kros hagever. It's done at the time already when the rooster crows. There's already the rays of dawn are beginning to appear. It's something which is done in the morning. So what is it? Is it a night avoda? Is it a day avoda? It's done before Alois HaShachar. It's not yet dawn. It's Kreis HaGever, which is before dawn. It's earlier, so it's still in the middle of the night. But already the day is beginning. It's the first thing that's done to begin the avoda of the day. But yet it relates to the night because I'm taking away a product that was produced from the previous day. So what is it? The answer is it's both. The answer is Trumas HaDeshem is an avoda which is a transitional avoda. It's unique from all the avodas. It's not a day avoda, it's not a night avoda. It's an avoda that's mechaber. It's mechaber the laila and the yom. Now, what is the significance of that? There's a very important halacha which Rashi quotes in this pasuk. V'lovash hakohen midovat. We learn parashas vayikra. Parashas Vayikra, we learned that all of the korbanos, I think there were 12 korbanos, 13 korbanos in Parashas Vayikra, and during the avoda, the korbanos, the kohen have to do all the avoda, the shchit, the kabbal, the halacha, the zrika, and the haktaras seimurim, and everything that needs to be done is done. They have to wear bigdei kahuna. If you don't wear bigdei kahuna, you're not a kohen. You only call the halacha kohen when you're wearing your bigdei kahuna. Now let me ask you a question. If the kohanim, their clothing do not fit, okay, they're a size 36, and they're wearing a 40, a 40 small, doesn't fit right. Is the avoda kshera? It's no good.
No, it's
if the pants are too tight, avoda is not a kosher avoda. It has to fit, the clothing have to fit perfectly. That's the halacha.
No alterations?
The alterations are done in advance.
It
has to fit perfectly. The clothing are not tailored fit. The avoda is. Where do we know this halacha? Where do we know? In Parshas Vayikra, there are 13 korbanos. There's no remez that the clothing has. It could be a schlump. You can wear a suit that doesn't fit. Maybe we're on a diet. He lost some weight, so it's too big. It's too. He gained weight. Doesn't fit perfectly. It's learned from the beginning of Parsha Sav in the Parsha of Trumas Hadeshen. The Lovash HaKohen Mido Vad. Mido means his measurement, which means his clothing, Vad of linen, which refers to his garment. Rashi, let me read you the Rashi Pasuk Gimel. Hi HaKisoynes. Mido. Why are we using this unusual word for a garment? Mido. That the garment must fit his measurement. If he's a 36 waist, it must fit. If he's a 40, it must fit. If he's a 45, it must fit. It must be Mido. So all the Mefarsh jump on this pasuk. Why did the Torah tell us this halacha specifically in the sugya of Shuma Sadesh? So there's a very popular answer. The most popular answer is because in the Gemara, there's machlokes, does the kohen have to wear an avnet? How many garments does he wear for Trumas? Does he wear two or does he wear four? Does he wear just the shirt and the pants? The shirt really is a tunic which goes all the way down, but we'll call it a shirt and the pants. Or does he also have to wear a hat? You have to wear your black hat, your white hat, your white borsellino, and you have to wear the avnet. Must he wear all four garments? So according to one opinion in the Gemara, no, you only have to wear two garments. It only says here, Beferish Nepasik, Midovad, and it says, Michnasevad Yilbash Al Bissa, so there's no belt. So here's the trick. When you're wearing four garments, if you have a good belt, you can fake it. If the pants don't fit, so just make the belt a little tighter, or loosen the belt. You can manipulate your belt to make the garments fit. If the pants are too long, so pull them up and tighten the belt in a way where the pants will not drag on the floor. Or whatever, you can manipulate your clothing with the belt. But when you're not wearing the avnet, you don't have an avnet, there's no avnet, you're only wearing two begadim, there's no hat, there's no avnet, you can't manipulate your clothing. There's not going to be any malfunction with your clothing. The clothing are going to be whatever they are.
Anyway, because
the mail, that's why it says it here. It says umidovan in this instance because we need over here it has to be perfect. Okay. That is the popular answer why the halacha is being taught. But I wanted to suggest another answer. The word mido means measurement. It doesn't just mean a person's measurement in physical size. Is he a 38, 42, a husky, regular, short, small? We're not dealing. Mido has a much deeper meaning. A person's stature. How do you look at this person? Is he a great person? Is he a gadol? Is he a person that has no character? What is his midos, his stature? What is his stature?
The measure of the man.
The measure of the person. So the pasuk here is telling us the idea of midos vadi. If you want to know a person, his measurement in ruchnius, as a human being is, how does he relate to the avoda of Truma Sadeshan?
Because
no, I don't mean that. That's not... No, I'm not going that direction. I know there's a lot of Torah on that. Not for now. The meaning is greatness is defined when a person knows how to build, to combine his days. Many people, they start, they accomplish something. On Sunday they do something. Monday they do something. Tuesday, one day has nothing to do with the previous day. When the day is over, whatever was. Today is a new day. Greatness is where you're able to combine, you're able to merge, to build. The tomorrow is built upon yesterday. If you can bring together your days, that's where you can find accomplishment. Avraham was described, Avraham Zokain Ba Bayomim. What did he mean, Ba Bayomim? He came with his days. Well, he just came with days. The godliness of Avraham was he took all the days and they all contributed to one another. He built. Every day's accomplishment was built upon yesterday's accomplishment. He went further and further and further. He didn't start all over again. That's greatness. Shumas Hadeshen is the koyach, it's an avoda, a transitional avoda, to take yesterday and to go into the next day, to connect my days. You want to know godless in the person, midovad, what is a person all about? Truma Sadeshen. Bo Bayonim. Don't just come with a collection of days. Come with days that are connected. Accomplishment to combining your days. That is our Dhamma to Purim. What is Purim? This is Shabbos, Parsha, Zohar, Erev Purim. Purim, the Megillah, is just a collection of stories. It's a collection of stories. There was a Vashti, and Vashti was killed, and then there was a letter, Achashverosh, V'chol Hanoshim, Yidin Yikol Levalehen, and then there was a story with Bixam Viseresh, and there was a Mordechai. Isolated events. The greatness of Purim, the Koyach of Purim, is to look at all of the different events that happened on different days, and bring them together, and see the big picture. See the big picture, connect the dots. That is the avod of Purim. That's Midovad, Truma Sadeshen. Connect the dots, connect the days. Purim, connect the little stories in Purim to see the bigger picture, the nace of what Purim is all about. Okay, now, you like jokes, let me tell you a good joke. Sure, not a really good joke, a little good story. I just thought it was a very cute story. A person who was once a little boy was traveling into a place where they never saw a Jew before. And he was undoubtedly a Hasidish little boy with pais. And a little hat, and this little frock, and he was davening mincha on the train, and there was a Jew, someone recognized him, and he said to this little boy, "Come on, it was the middle of the summer, whenever it was. What are you dressing up like in this here and out in the Hicks? No one sees you. What do you think? It's Purim here. You come over here, they're going to see you like this, dressed up with your payas and your little hat, and in the middle of nowhere. They never saw a Jew. You think it's Purim today? Did you bring your grogger also?" So the little boy was very sharp. He said to him, "Had I known there was Haman here, I would have brought the grogger." Okay, that's the little joke for today. Now let's go to another idea. Now this idea, I'm warning you, you cannot say to a woman. This is just an appreciation of the learning of the Megillah. This is a short halakhic observation I came across in... Where did I see this? Oh no, I don't remember where I saw this. I saw this observation... Oh, I know where I saw this. I saw this in a new sefer from Rav David Meshulam Soloveitchik. You know Rav David Soloveitchik? From Eretz Yisrael, people who go to boys who learn Eretz Yisrael, they go to Avraham Yeshua, or if you don't get into Avraham Yeshua, so then you go to Rav David Soloveitchik. So they put out, the Talmidim put out a very beautiful sefer, Chidushim on Chumash. So he has a lot of his alumnus, but he makes the observation, he doesn't say this, this comes out from reading, doesn't allude to it, I just picked this up from this idea. There's a question, is a woman allowed to lay in the Torah? Today it's become a very popular issue in the modern world. Are you allowed to lay in the Torah? What, for men? For men. Is a woman allowed to be the Baal Koreh for men? You have a minion. No one knows how to lay. Rabbi Mayevsky is not on scene. So, but there's a woman behind the mechit says, I can lay. I know the parasha inside out. Do we allow her to lay the moitzi the men, the kriya satar? So the Shulchan Aruch says no. Why not? Exactly, that's what it says. It's not kavod hatzibur. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. It says that in the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, it's not kavod hatzibur for a woman to be moitzi the men. Kavod hatzibur, okay, very good. What about the Megillah? Let's say it's Megillah and there's no man available who knows how to lay in the Megillah. A woman wants to lay in the Megillah. So can a woman lay in the Megillah? So there are different opinions. So basically the answer is no. But the Kolbo says a different reason why a woman is not allowed to lay in the Megillah. Because Kol Beisha Erva. A woman who lays the Megillah, it's like a woman singing. And when a man listens to a woman sing, we know that halacha, that's a clear halacha. A man is not allowed to listen live to a woman alone, sing Kol Talacha Shonach, Kol Beisha Erva. So the question is, Manavshach. If Kol Beisha Erva is true for Megillah, that should be the reason why a woman should not be allowed to be Maitzi the Tzibur Kriya Satira with her laning. And if it's not Kol Beisha Erva, so why do we need to come on to Kol Beisha Erva? We should say it's because not Kavadat Tzibur. What's the difference? So the answer is, you take away from this in a very powerful chiddush in the Kriya Satira from the Kolbo, at least according to his opinion, the laning of the Megillah is a different laning. The laning of a Megillah is a song. I'm not a bucky in the nigun and stunning the melody of the Megillah. The melody of the Megillah is a different melody than the melody of Kriya Satara. But even if you don't want to focus on the melody, you want to focus on the chazivas, the laning of the Megillah is not just an ordinary reading of the Megillah. The chazivas of the Megillah, and perhaps to some degree the melody, the different melody of the Megillah, upgrades the Kriya HaMegillah into a concert.
A shira.
Hilula kriyasa zuhilula. And that has a nafkamin in halacha that it's called the isha erva. That it's as if a woman is singing, which presents us with a more serious problem of allowing a woman to be mitzi men through the kriya samagila.
So according to the she just read the Ivra.
What?
According to the Kol,
no, so it seems to be saying just the reading of the Megillah, there's a chavivos.
Yeah,
there's such a chavivos in the Megillah, automatically, that's the point I want to make. It upgrades the listening
to
the Megillah.
What he's saying is that the man makes it into a Kol Yisrael.
Not the man. The man listening.
The man has such chavivos in hearing.
All right, how do you want to learn that? That's okay.
What
that's,
about the other Megillahs?
No, you don't say. He doesn't discuss it. He does not discuss that. This is an idea of the chavivas hamegillah. So the point. I'm not trying to speak. I'm not trying to say anything about it. I just want to bring out a point that the laning of the megillah, we even see in halacha, it's a concert. When you go to hear Kriya HaMegillah, you're not just going to hear Kriya Satar. Kriya Satar is a wonderful thing. It's Talmud Torah and it's chaviv. But when you're going to hear the megillah, it's a concert. It's a whole different type of Kriya Satara. That is what emerges from this difference in halacha between...
It's not just a narrative.
Right, it's a concert, it's a song. There's something much different, and we should appreciate that fact when we listen to the Megillah.
So if you call it Kol Beisha Erva, so then maybe Lechachili you shouldn't do it. But what happens if it's a Dumb B'Di'evin? Maybe you're a Yotza.
Yeah, let's say certainly your own relative. Let's say your wife or your daughter or relatives. So then the rules are different. Perhaps. I'm not going into the details in halacha. I just want to bring out this point. It's many people, the average person, you'll ask, are you going to the Megillah? Yeah, like I'm going to hear Kriya Satara. There's no difference. That's how the average person will look at listening to the Megillah. Yeah, they have a different nigun. Okay, we bang hamon, you have to hear every single word, there's certain halachas. But basically, it's a glorified Kriya Satara. It's not. It's a concert. Kriya Satara is a shir. I'm going to hear a shir. Women give shiurim, right? You can go hear a share from a woman, but going to a concert, that's already a different category. That you have to know the rules, when you allow, when you're not allowed. What are you allowed to listen to? It's a different category of kriya. That's what we see from the halacha, and it fits very well with this concept that there's such an idea called the chavivus hamegillah. The chassidim have a meaning that they learn every kriya v'chsif. In the kriya satara, there's no such thing. In the kriya satara, you never hear a person read a pasuk twice, or read a word, an expression twice. Kriya v'chsif. It says, Vahi kiamram biamram. I'm going to read it twice. Kriya satara, never. You read the kri, you don't do the ksif. By Megillah, not everyone does this, but by Hasidim, they say, Mishum the Chavivus HaMegillah. It's so chaviv, we're even going to read the ksif, and then we'll read the kri. At Kedei Kach. Chavivus HaMegillah also upgrades the Megillah to a concert where it now becomes a whole new halachic issue. It goes so far, no Drush and Halacha very rarely overlap. They're different worlds. There's the world of Halacha, and there's the world of Drush, and they don't mix. They don't mix. Here, you see they mix. There's some blending of the two. Chavivas HaMegillah makes it into a Shira, which does not allow for there to be...
So if there's no one to lane, so the woman can't lane either. So
all right, I'm not going to Halacha. Let's go further. Then going to Halacha Shalat, which I don't know. Let's go to...
Megillah in English too, right? They only understand English.
You have to understand it. It's not so simple in English. You have to know the translation. We don't know all the words. We don't even know the translation. The different types of camels. Okay, let's go to the next idea. We discussed this week the idea of that Megillah is called an Igeres. If I told you one simple idea, it's a Megillah. It's Megillas Esther, but it's also called, it's red ki igeres. I told you, just to review, is that a Megillah means little sections. For example, Moshe Rabbeinu, he compiled the Torah, Megillah Nikres. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the Torah as Megillos. He taught him a Parsha Tzav. He taught him Parsha Vayikra, in different sections. And Moshe Rabbeinu had in his possession Megillos. Small little Megillah. The Gemara says this. Megillos was given to Moshe Rabbeinu in small little sections. And then at the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, he took all the Megillos and he compiled it into one Sefer. Megillah says it's called the Megillah because the Megillah contains many, many little stories. There's a story of the party of Vashti, there's a story of Bigson the Seris, the story of the letters, and the story of Haman. Little Megillos. But it's Nikreis Ki Igeres. The whole thing is opened up in front of us. The avoda is to bring together all of the little stories and recognize the Yad Hashem that goes through all the little Megillos. That's one interpretation. I saw yesterday another very nice interpretation of why it's called the Megaris. Did you ever read someone's mail? Were you ever over on Cherim D'Rabbeinu Gershain? Okay, they have really published books, all these historical letters. Most of the letters are filled with trivial things. Oh, my grandmother, she came to visit us, and she brought us some candy, and the weather today was no good, and this happened, and Uncle Sam, he did this, and my brother John, he did these trivial little things which have really no big meaning. Who do they have meaning to? The person who the letter was meant to. If you read someone else's mail, 99% of the time, it's meaningless. Okay, you know a person's secrets, you know some Lashon Hara, you know some gossip, you have this and that. But Ruba de Ruba, when people write letters, they write simple, boring things. Can you imagine the NSA listening to everyone's cell phone call? It must be so boring. What are people talking about to go pick up some terrorism, to go listen to all this nonsense?
Two milks and a bread.
Igeres is something which is, for me, it has meaning. For you, it has no meaning. The Megillah is called an Igeres. Why is it called an Igeres? So you can interpret this in many different levels. It has meaning for every person on an individual level. The whole story of the Megillah is to recognize the Yad Hashem in simple, ordinary, mundane events. A story happened, the whole Megillah, just simple little stories. Politics. Turn on the news, listen to what's going on in the country. It doesn't have any big meaning. The big picture of things, it has no meaning. But you, as a Shomer Torah Mitzvos, are able to... It's a mashal. The Megillah is a mashal for every person. You're able to see things there which are not obvious, which seemingly have no meaning, But for you, it has a lot of meaning. Because you see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is revealing his divine plan. He's using all of these people as pawns to bring out something much bigger. There's a lot going on behind the scene. That's why it's called an Igeres. To an outsider, someone who doesn't want to open up his mind to see there's nothing going on. It's like the NSA listening to someone's cell phone call. Boring, no meaning. But if you take it seriously, it's Nigeris. You take it seriously, there's a lot going on over here. There are things that are important, and there are lessons to be learned, and you can see the Yad Hashem and some Musa Haskell for life when every single thing that happens, there's meaning. If you are aware of an event, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to you, he's telling you something, and this event is going to lead and produce something much greater than meets the eye. Okay, that's one. Let's go to another idea. Okay, let me tell you one of my favorite stories. I brought the book here. There's a book called Vintage Wine. Wine is not spelled in this title of the book, W-I-N-E, Yayin, even though it's Purim, Beryl Wine. The book was written by one of Beryl Wine's Talmidim, Balabatim, associates. He was a chosser by Beryl Wine, and he was malakate his ideas, stories, insights, and he put together a book. So he asked Rabbi Wine to write the introduction, the foreword. So Rabbi Wine, in just 2 pages, he wrote a foreword for the book. What's the foreword? Now, let me tell you the story first. So what's the foreword? What's the story he writes in his introduction? He writes this funny verse, a funny story. He was traveling to Chicago. He went, he had some speaking engagement somewhere, and he had to travel to Chicago, and he had to make a connecting flight. And it was a snowstorm. And he booked the flight the very last minute. And he told the travel agent, please make sure I have a kosher meal, both on the first leg of the flight and on the second leg of the flight. So she said, I'll do my best, but it's very late. You're booking the flight at the very last moment. It's not likely you're going to be able to get the kosher meal. I'll put it in the computer, we'll see what happens. He gets on the plane, he sits down, and the stewardess notices that he has a yarmulke, and she says, oh, you probably have a special meal, right? You're Jewish? Okay, I'll go look for it. So, by the way, what's your name? So he says, my name is Rabbi Wine. So she says, okay, let me go look. She comes back and says, I'm sorry, there's no wine. There's a meal for a Mr. Lesh. But you know, there's a snowstorm. Who knows? He probably missed the flight. Let me make an announcement. She makes an announcement and she says, is there a Mr. Lesh? That was the name of the other person. Is there a Mr. Lesh on the plane? Mr. Lesh, please come forward. So Wine looks around. He says, look, there's no Mr. Lesh. So you know what? I'll be Mr. Lesh. Basically, he says, okay, very good. So you'll be Mr. Lesh. There is no Mr. Lesh. He's not here. He missed the flight, so you could have his... And then she says, by the way, just keep in mind that when you make your connecting flight, it'll probably be the same thing. Order Mr. Lesh's dinner. Yeah. So then he gets on the connecting flight. He sits down. And they come to serve lunch or dinner, whatever it was, and they say, what's your name, sir? I say, I have a kosher meal. Oh, kosher meal, yes, so what's your name? We'll go bring it. My name is Mr. Lesh. So she comes back and she says, I'm sorry, Mr. Lesh. I'm sorry, Mr. Lesh. We only have a meal for Mr. Wine. So Rabbi Wine says, you know what, I have an idea. Go on the PA system and make an announcement. Is there a Rabbi Wine? Is there a Rabbi Wine? Because, you know, it's a snowstorm. Maybe he missed the flight. So she gets on the PA system and she makes it. Is there a Rabbi Wine? Is there a Rabbi Wine in the house on the plane? No one says, okay, there's no Rabbi Wine. So I'll be Mr. Lesh. I'll take. That's his story. Okay, he develops a story. This story made a very powerful impression upon me when I saw it many years ago, and I really believe, and I saw a Vart 2 days ago, and I believe that this story really fits in very well into Purim, and the following, not a Vart, just a Medrash. I don't even know if it's a Medrash. Someone told me it is a Medrash. I didn't have a chance to go search it out. I'll leave it to Rabbi Michal to verify that this Medrash is true. What's the Medrash? Well, what's the idea? Purim is a day where children wear costumes, or adults also. Today, I don't know, adults became a masquerade party. Adults wear costumes as well. It used to be in the olden days, only children wore costumes. Adults, you know, you maintain your dignity. Times have changed. We're all children today, okay? Everyone has video games in their hand. Everyone plays with video games since everyone today is a child. So we, what's this all about? Costumes. You have to wear a costume on Purim. So there are probably 100 interpretations of why you wear costumes, what Purim is all about. And probably the simplest reason we wear costumes is because when Klal Yisrael, they went to the party of Achashverosh, they didn't really mean it. They didn't really mean to rejoice over their destruction. They were celebrating 70 years in Zechor Beis HaMikdash. It was only b'fnim. It was a hidden, it was an external celebration, but inside they were really mourning over the Churban Beis HaMikdash. It was just a show, it was a costume. When they went to the party, it was a masquerade party for Klal Yisrael, so therefore we remember that that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't really punish us, because we didn't really rejoice over our destruction, we were just putting on a show in order not to make trouble with Achashverosh. That's probably the simplest interpretation why we wear a costume. But I saw another idea. There was only one person in the entire Megillah who put on a costume. Search the Megillah, at least according to the Medrash, if this Medrash really exists, which I'm assuming it does now. Mordechai just wore bigger malchus. He wore nicer clothing. Mordechai yatzlov emalchush. Haman put on a costume. What do I mean? Haman put on a costume? Why did the whole story of Hof Purim come about? At least on a simple level. Because Haman had hatred for one person, Mordechai. Haman was elevated to become Kamat the Mishnah L'melech, and when Haman comes out of the palace, everyone bows down. Mordechai lo yichra v'lo yishtachav. Not only did he not bow down, yichra b'loshen osin, he knew he never will. He'll never bow down. And this hatred, this burned with him, this rage burned with him, the hatred that he had for Mordechai was so great, he was willing to destroy the whole Klal Yisrael. So it says a Farish. His hatred. I'm not just going to wipe out this Meshugana, this Mordechai. I'm going to wipe out the whole Klal Yisrael because of my hatred for this person, this Mordechai. That's how great his hatred. And then he devised the plan, they paid the shkolim, the letters, so on and so forth. Okay. All of a sudden, Malay Lahu, Nadadash Nasamelech. Achashverosh can't sleep. They tell him, bring out the Sefer HaZichronos to put me to sleep. Big son of Seresh, Mordechai saved your life. Oh, what do we do for Mordechai? Nothing. We didn't do anything for him. Okay. Haman comes. Haman, you go put on Big Day Malchus on Mordechai, parade him to the street. Give him the ultimate covert. And you, I want you, Haman, I want you to lead. So this was a horror. Can you imagine the horror here? My arch enemy, the person I'm going to destroy the whole Klal Yisrael because of this man that I hate, and I have to lead him in the street? What's the world going to think? When all the cameras will be snapping, and they're going to see me, the great Haman Ha'agogi Ben Hamdasa, lead this Jew that I hate with a sinas modest. I can't tolerate this. I can't live with this. I have one solution. The only way I can deal with this, I'll put on a costume. I will dress up like Mordechai. It's an incredible thing, incredible medrash. Haman took Mordechai's clothing. Someone told me, "Ad gedei kach," that's what it means. Beros miyachat techelus Mordechai. He even put on his tzitzis. Haman got dressed up like Mordechai with the tzitzis hanging out. Mordechai. The Jews knew what was going on, but why did Haman get dressed up like Mordechai? So when he goes in the street and the media is there and all the bloggers are watching, they're typing away and they're reporting what's happening, Haman warned they should say that they should think. They should think that the one on the horse is Haman, and the one that's leading is Mordechai. No, he can't help what's going to be the one on the horse. They'll really think it's going to be Mordechai. But at least they should say that it's the lowly Haman that's leading someone. The lowly Mordechai that's leading. So can you imagine Haman, who hates Mordechai with a sinas mavis that cannot even be measured, is now getting dressed up and is making believe, I am that person. I am that person. I am Mordechai. And what happens? That was what Zerah, and he comes out, his daughter falls for it. His daughter believes it. That's Taka Mordechai. Look, I see the tzitzis. You can always tell it's a Jew when you see those tzitzis hanging out. And you see those payas flying in the wind. It's a Jew. So what does she do? She takes the garbage and throws the garbage on who she thinks is Mordechai. Haman looks up and then she sees it's him, so she commits suicide. Ovel v'chafui rosh. When this whole thing was over, he was a mourner, he was disgraced. And then v'yavhilu l'chavias Haman, and Chazal say that he was in a state of bahala. He was totally confused, bewildered, he lost his mind. And Zeresh, the top of the loft, cherry on the top, says to him, in Yedon, in Mizera HaYehudim Mordechai, Asher HaChilos, Elin Pol Lefanov, Lo Sucha Lo Ki Nafolti Pol Lefanov. Get a knock on the door. Haman! Is Mr. Haman on the plane? Is Mr. Haman here? And now is his big day to come to the party. The cover, he's bragging the whole day. Could you imagine my greatness? And I was called with Esther. I'm the only one in the whole world that was called to come with the queen. My big day has arrived. And now, before his big day has arrived, before the big day has arrived, he makes believe he's planning his whole life. Right? This was what he was waiting for himself to be. Haman, to go to the party, to rejoice. And before the party, he makes believe. He gets on the plane. Who are you? I'm not Mr. Wine. I'm Mr. Lesh. I'm Mr. Lesh. And he makes believe he's Mr. Lesh. And because he's Mr. Lesh, everything is different. And now, someone, his daughter dies, and he's an Ovel. And now, finally, his big day comes. The stewardess comes back and says, I'm looking for a Mr. Wine, but you are a Mr. Lesh. I'm looking for Haman, but you made believe you're Mordechai. And therefore, because you made believe you're Mordechai, that already was the cause of your whole downfall. You made believe who you're not. You may believe who you're not. Chas v'shalom. Chas v'shalom. You know what I mean. You understand the Musar Haskel. He's
Cornfield.
Yes, that he's.
You have to drink wine until you can't tell the difference between.
This is in this.
You have to have.
He was turned into the wrong. He was turned. Now his big day came. Where is Haman? But there is no Haman. The truth is in. You're no longer the big famous Haman. You're no longer. You're already, it's over. You made believe someone who you're not, that caused you to lose your whole greatness, to put you into a state of Bahala, to begin to fall, and once you begin to fall, you're no longer the big famous Haman anymore. It's done, it's curtains for you. This is the only custom in Purim. So what's the Musar Haskel of Purim? You wear a costume of Purim. What's the Musar? The Musar Haskel is, in life, you have to be who you are. Don't try to be who you're not. If you try to be who you're not, then in the Chakihachile, you're going to fall. And once you go down the wrong path, when the day comes and will finally call your name, will the real person stand up? You're not going to be able to stand up. You're not going to exist because you've made yourself into who you're not. The Musar Haskel of Purim is don't try to be who you're not. Be true to who you really are. That's the meaning, the deeper meaning of why we are a costume is to remind us of the one person who put on that costume. Haman put on the costume of Mordechai and look at the result. The result was his nefila. And we should not be like that. We should be true to who we are. We shouldn't put on costumes the whole year. Purim, we put on costumes. But the whole year round, you have to be true to who you are. Okay, that's one idea. I want to go to another idea. Okay. In the Gemara Masechet Megillah tells us a very powerful statement. The only reason why Klal Yisrael survived the Gezerah of Lahashmi, Lahar, Gelab, and it's Kol HaYudim, even though they took it back, was because the first letter. Ilmole, I don't remember the exact words, the words in Gemara, Megillah, Daf, Yud Bey Zamed Aleph, I think, Yud Bey Zamed Aleph, if not for the first letters, Lo Nishtayer Misoineim Shel Yisrael, Afilu Sored Upolet. There would not have been one living survivor in Klal Yisrael, powerful words of Chazal, if not for the fact that Achashverosh sent a letter to the whole world, Lihios Kol Ish Soirer Beveso. I wanted the whole world to know a proclamation from the White House, the man is in control. The man wears the pants, he is the balabas of the house. And all the women, Chol Anoshim, Yidu Yikor Levaleh. So what's the Pashup Shah in the Gemara? The Gemara Kamat says this. The Gemara really says, even the lowliest of the low, a weaver, the Gemara calls a weaver, a low person, I don't know why a weaver, the example of a weaver, but whatever it is the balabas in the house. Of course, the man is the king of his own home. Pashut. I need the king to issue a proclamation that a man should be soirer beveso and a wife has to give kavod. Even a lowlife has this dignity in his own home. This king must have nitrifadaita. He lost his mind. They thought he was a meshuggah. Now, a year later, a few months later, he sends out letters. Oh, lahashmi lahari, let's call ayudim. This, who knows? The same way the first letter was a meshuggahs. This is also some meshuggahs. And if we better be very careful, we should. That was the miracle that Klal Yisrael had, that he was foolish enough to send out this friend. That's the pashup shot in the Gemara. I saw yesterday what I felt was an unbelievable pshat, a little bit twist on this Gemara. A deeper insight, the name of the sefer is called Vayoymer Eliyahu. He's a very chashuv Talmud Chacham. I think he's a retired rav in Eretz Yisrael. Put out a sefer called Vayoymer Eliyahu. I don't remember his name, and he says there the following: the deeper meaning of Liyosh Kolisha Beveso is because who was the one person in the country that was not Sorer Beveso? Achashverosh. How do we know this? Let's review the story. Let's review the story. But that was good because Vashti doesn't want to come, so he executes her. Vashti, I'm not coming. Oh, you're not coming? I'm going to kill you. And he killed. He killed his own wife. Vashti, Yichus, Bal Shetzar. He kills her. Okay, he's Serbeveso. Look, learn from me. I'm Serbeveso. My wife didn't want to come. I killed her. Okay, he's now a bachelor. Okay? He's a bachelor. Haman, Achashverosh now is a bachelor, is a bachelor. All the shatchanim come. Let's read Shaduchim for the new bachelor. So his new marriage will all be built upon the precedent of Leos called Ish Sarbeveso. He wouldn't enter into a marriage unless he would rectify this problem. So he goes out with all these girls. He meets Esther. And he says, Esther, where do you come from?
I want to tell you.
What's your nation? What's the pasuk say? Ain Esther Magedes Moilato Viasama. She refuses to tell him. Tell me, I'm the boss. So why does he continue to date her? Not only does he continue to date her, he marries her. Ooh, he marries her, and the whole country is, where does she come from? We'll find out. What do you mean? But you're the boss? Didn't you, Achashverosh, send out a letter, Lihios Kol Ish, Sarer Beveso? If you ask the question, she must answer, Sarer Beveso. Ein Esther Magedes Moilato V'Yasama. This goes on for how long? For years, right? What's the whole, all the details, all the stories? Refuse. If there's one person in the country that's not Sarer Beveso, it's Achashverosh. So what is the whole world look at Achashverosh? He's the biggest hypocrite. Mm-hmm. He's a fool to send out a letter to tell the whole world, the Chol Hanoshim Yitnu Yukor Levalehen, and he is the person whose wife rules. His wife won't even tell him where she comes. The most basic piece of information every husband knows about his wife: where she was born, where she comes, which country she comes, which nationality. Let me see your passport. Something. The most basic piece of information. He was a laughing stock in this country. He was the biggest. This is what it means. Ilmale. So there's a much deeper meaning now. You know why? When Achashverosh issued the decree, Lahashmi Lahar Galabedes Kol HaYehudim, children know this very well. You only take seriously a person who has integrity, a person who practices what he preaches. Achashverosh, in the eyes of the Hamoinam, was the biggest hypocrite. They had no respect for anything that he said, because he sent out a letter telling the world to give that the man has to be in control, and he himself is not in control. His wife doesn't listen to him. There's no respect for such a person. He's a hypocrite. He has no integrity. So now when he says Lahashna Lade, if he would not have sent out that first letter, people would have been misled to believe he's a person of dignity, integrity. If he gives the decree, whatever the king says, we do. But that was the saving grace for Klal Yisrael. That's it. So what's the Musa Haskel you take away from this for Purim? You take away from this is integrity. That's the Musa Haskel of Purim, is to practice what you preach. The same way you, it also fits very well with the idea of costumes. The Musar Haskel of Purim is to have integrity, to be the type of person that you profess to be. You espouse, you present yourself. Be true to the way, to your values, to the type of community, type of society that you're part of. If this is what you are, be true to those values. Don't go and be paseach al shnei asifim. Because the same way Chazal say, lo nishtayir mehem sardu polit, this was the cause that there would not have been one survivor. So, v'nahapichu, if we want to guarantee v'netzach yisholo yishaker, that there shall be nitzchis v'klal yisholo, it has to be v'nahapichu to the opposite extreme. It has to be where we are 100% true to our beliefs. Yeah.
I saw a different shot on, I found very interesting, by a Scottish rabbi in the Jewish press, which impressed me very much. If you look at it, the decree of Ahasuerus about losing Vashti, He says he was really, it was a personal loss to him, right? He was drunk.
Oh, yeah.
And he was looking for an etzah to save Vashti. And he said,
okay, there are many approaches.
All right, wait, let me finish. Yeah. So he consulted with all these other people, and they turned it, the consultation he got, especially Muhammad, was, no, this is a public issue, you cannot do it. So he's pressured. Because you see by the other gazeres he put out, when Haman came to him and said, I want to destroy all the Jews, he didn't consult with all the other people. When he hung Haman on the eggs, he didn't consult. He was so angry. So you see there's a chilek, he said, between this gezerah that it came out first. It wasn't him. He didn't want to really make it public. Because the king of a Persian king with such power, he didn't need their approval. But what he was looking for was, is there any way I can try to save Vashti? And unfortunately, it didn't work.
According to the letter of the law, he couldn't do so. He had to break some laws to
It's a very interesting chatter. I mean,
okay, very good, very good. Okay, let me go to one last idea. Now, this idea is a half-baked idea, so I warn you, but perhaps you can polish it up. Purim is called a Mishteyayin. The whole story of Purim begins the Hashasio Chados Einones. V'gam Vashti Amalka also saw Mishtei Noshim. Everything is all about wine. It's a Mishteyayin. That's how the story of Purim begins. Begins with a Mishteyayin. And therefore, how do we celebrate Purim? Not necessarily halacha lemaisa, but Chazal tell us chayiv adam livasume bepuraya ad lo yoda. There is such an inyan on Purim to drink, an inyan of Purim of yayin. What's the deeper meaning of drinking yayin? So we had the same idea a little before we started, but when you drink yayin, you make a special bracha, bari priyagafin. Okay, fine, but you also make a special bracha. Acharoina. What's the bracha acharoina you make on Yayin? Al hagef, al pri hagef. The bracha me'ein shalosh. The bracha me'ein shalosh is a very interesting bracha. It's a shorn version of brichas hamazon. That's why it's called me'ein shalosh. We just take the theme. But although it captures the theme, it does have a few embellishments. For example, it makes mention of the mizbeach. We had this discussion. It has the mizbech. What else does it have in the bracha? It has, let me just turn to the pane. But before we come to that, let me read you the exact words. So I don't make any error. Okay, here it is. Okay, we come to the end. Rachim no Hashem okin al Yisrael nech v'yal Yisrael nech v'yal tzio mishkan v'dech v'yal mizbechecha. That's unusual. The mizbech v'yal hechalecha. And then it says, the Mizbech and the Hechel are never mentioned in any other tefillah. The Mizbech and the Hechel. And then we go on to make a request. Uvinei Yerushalayim Yerakodesh, Bimherav Yameinu, V'ha'aleinu L'socha. Why do we have to say that? And bring us up within it. V'samcheinu B'vinyam, may we rejoice in its rebuilding. V'noichal Mipir Yehuli from its fruits, V'nisba Mituva, U'nivarechecha Olecha B'kedusha U'vitahara. If you go to Birchas Hamazon, we don't have this elaboration. Uvenei Yerushalayim, Ir HaKadosh, Bimher V'Yameinu. That's it. That's the whole thing. Just may you rebuild it speedily in our days. We don't make a request that we should ascend with Simcha, and we should eat from the fruits, Bikdushu V'Tahara, and we should witness its rebuilding. B'Samchin, we should rejoice in its rebuilding. What's going on in the Bracha Mein Shalosh? Why do we have all of this embellishment? Now, so let's take a step back. The Bracha Mein Shalosh was primarily established for what? The Bracha Mein Shalosh. Oh. Bracha Mein Shalosh, Chazal tell us, now Chazal is really, I think it's the Brisker Rav, corresponds to Bikurim, the first fruits. Bikurim only come from the Zayin Minim. Every year, a farmer is obligated to take the first fruits and bring it to Eretz Yisrael to Bekayim Mitzvah Bikurim. What do you bring Bikurim? From the Zayin Minim. What is the Bracha Mein Shalosh? The Bracha Mein Shalosh is said on the Zayin Minim. We have a common denominator. The Mitzvah of Bikurim is the Zayin Minim, and the Bracha Mein Shalosh is only on the Zayin Minim. Therefore, it's a very popular idea to explain that's why it says Mizbeach. Because in the Mizbeach, it's the only Nusach HaTfilah, only where we have in Davening, we have a mention of the Mizbeach, because when it comes to Bikurim, what does it say? V'inachtoi lifnei Mizbach Hashem Elokecha. Part of the procedure of bringing Bikurim requires the farmer to take the basket of fruit and deposit it in the front of the Mizbeach. So since the Bracha Me'in Shalosh to some degree relates to the Mitzvah of Bikurim, because above the Zayin Minim, and in the Mitzvah of Bikurim, we put the basket in front of the Mizbeach, that's why we're Spalel for the Mizbeach, V'yal Mizbechecha, V'yal Lechalecha. Okay, that is a very popular approach to understand a deeper meaning into the Bracha Me'in Shalosh. But let's take this a step further. One of the main things that we make the Bracha Me'in Shalosh for is Yayin. When did the miracle of Purim occur? It occurred in between the Churban Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. And in fact, the entire story of Purim, the bigger picture of things, all revolves around the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Ad chatsi hamalchus yinasein loch. Chatsi hamalchus loikol malchus. Dover that's chulik the malchus. What's dover that's chulik the malchus? What does Chazal say? The binyan beis hamikdash. The story begins with Achashverosh celebrating the Churban beis hamikdash. It's been 70 years since the galus of Yehoyachin. 70 years. That's it. It's curtains. It's not going to happen. Let's make a party to celebrate the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. The Nevuah of Yirmiyahu will not come true. They're not going to return. That's it. And what does Achashverosh do to show his celebration? He defiles the Kelim. V'chelim mikelim shanim. He takes out the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. He puts on the big day kuhuna. He was dressed in the clothing of the Kohen. At this party, he was masquerading. He was wearing the clothing of the Kohen. Maybe that's another example of a costume, but he was putting on the Kohen Gadol. He is defiling the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash by using the Kelim, bringing the Kahuna, and celebrating of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. When he marries Esther, he says, you can have whatever you want, but I'm not letting you go back and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. The entire story of Purim focuses on this point of time where, although Koresh gave Rishus for them to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, it was halted, it came to an end, and it was stopped, and the big debate was, will they allow to be rebuilt to restore the Beis HaMikdash? What happens during this period of time? Story of Purim. What is the story of Purim? A Mishte Yayin. The whole thing comes about through Mishte Yayin. How do we celebrate? We celebrate through Yayin. When we celebrate through Yayin, we make a Bar Priya Gofen. And then when we finish making the Bar Priya Gofen and we rejoice, what do? We then make an Al HaGefen. And we make an Al HaGefen. Every time we make an Al HaGefen, we're putting ourselves back in the time period of Purim. Because the moment in history that revolved over Yayin, the Mishnah Yayin is 70, Nichnas Yayin Yetzisodah, the whole thing was 70 years, I told you in advance, only half day, but there's definitely something here. This is the Tkufa of Yayin, the Mishnah Yayin. And now when we make the Al HaGefen, when we drink Yayin, we're putting ourselves back in that time. And we're drinking Yayin. We have the Mishnah Yayin. We're celebrating that we survived. What was the ultimate survival, the end of the story of Purim? It led into the fact that Achashverosh allowed Daryovesh, the son of Achashverosh, who was the son of Esther, allowed the resumption of the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, it is specifically in the Bracha Me'ein Shalosh, we don't just say, oh, may the Beis HaMikdash be rebuilt. It was something very tangible. It was tangible. Now that we've survived the story of Purim, now the decree has been lifted. We're not celebrating over the Churban. We're going to actually go and rebuild it. Mitoch Simcha. Not just Uvinei Yerushalayim HaKadosh Baruch Hu living over here in Golis. No, we're talking about thinking about the Beis HaMikdash. It's Nogeh Halacha L'Maisa when you're putting yourself back in that time in between the Bayis and Bayis Sheni during the time of the story. V'Haleinu L'Socha. Now we can actually ascend. V'Samcheinu B'Vinyan Hana in its rebuilding to rejoice because they stopped. They were actually part of rebuilding it, and now the Simcha of Purim, like Yehuda Ma'is Arim, the Simcha of Esas Avikar, the Simcha was now that we can rejoice in the rebuilding. This is practical. Because the whole story was the defilement. The story began. The Mishta Yayin was the ultimate defilement of the Kedusha over the Tahara of the Beis Hamikdash, where the Chaylim, Shainim, they were drinking in celebration. Is there a greater defilement of the Kedusha and the Tahara of the Big Day Kohuna and the Kalim than the time of Purim? Certainly not. And now we prevailed. And we prevailed. We can proceed. That's why these nuschos are all presented here in the Bracha Me'ein Shalosh. When you drink Yayin, you're reliving the Purim story. And then you're giving a bracha to Hashem. You're going back in time every time the whole year. It's not only on Purim, Purim especially, but the whole year round, you're reliving the time of Purim and it becomes practical. Nogel lecha lemaisa. Now we survive, we can return to the Beit, we can resume building the Beit Hamikdash. Yes.
That's how you can add Nichnas Yayin Yotzeh Sod is 70.
Right?
The whole Sod. So therefore,
70 years.
You get the Mishta Yayin led to the Yotzeh Sod, the foundation of the Beit Hamikdash.
Okay, very nice. Because the whole bracha is Me'in Purim. Okay, with that we'll leave it. Have a wonderful Purim, Frelich Purim, and all the best. Simchas Purim, Din Shabbos.